It's U105. It's our lunchtime bistro. 25 minutes past two. Just before we hook up with Paul Stafford, I did give you a pop-up competition. Joan Armatrading performing live at the Grand Opera House. Last major solo tour. And the good news is it's not going to be just her new album. It's all the old stuff from 42 years. Listen, this is what we gave you. That, of course, is Drop the Pilot. So well done if you got that. Caller 10, Sally Moody. Well done, Sally. You've got yourself two tickets to go along and enjoy that. I'll see you there because I will most definitely be in the audience. And I'm just hoping that Lorena Monnier doesn't squeal from the audience anything up to Joan Armatrading. Paul Stafford, welcome. You're smiling because I told you the story about Lorraine.
Yeah, but I was there too.
Yes, that's right. She is a gag, isn't she?
She's one of our local heroes.
She's good dressing. Fun. Yeah, she's good fun. Here, what are you doing? You're travelling all over the place. Every time I speak to you, you're going somewhere new.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been very lucky. I mean, I think that there's just this real resurgence in education and hairdressing. You know, we were talking about it briefly, and I'm just very lucky to be old enough and experienced enough where people think, you know, that I might have a voice.
Well, where did it go? Did it disappear for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, leading up to the recession, we all become preoccupied with our businesses, and we all got a wee bit fat, I think is the right word. You know, we wanted to be empire builders instead of, you know, industry voices or leaders. And I think, you know, we tried to create businesses to a level that I think maybe was unsustainable. Obviously, my story's pretty well known by now, but the reality of it was the recession has made us a lot more hungrier. And fortunately, there is now a demand out there for education globally. And Northern Ireland's very lucky because we've got some amazing hairdressers. And I'm fortunate enough to be one of those that have been asked to travel abroad. And
so, you know, yes, you're travelling to the States quite a bit, Paul. Are you ever going to move there? Because you kind of like it, don't you?
Yeah, I like the vastness of it. I like, you know, I mean, you've got to remember there's huge parts of America where they have no idea where we get our ideas or inspiration, and they just can't get their head around the fact that we have this wealth of knowledge and expertise, and they love it. And that is very infectious. So when you're with an audience, you know, you might work to an audience of 100, 200 people in the UK. In America, it's going to be 2,000.
I mean, I was looking at the show that you're talking about here, the International Beauty Show. 150 classes in hair and nails and beauty and all of that.
Well, now that is pretty special. The New York one is a huge one, and you're going to get the very best people.
Is that the biggest in America, do you think?
Well, I think it's the biggest. I mean, there are bigger shows, but this is the one that's saturated with the most talent.
Yeah.
So you're going to have people there who are just, you know, absolute global leaders in their industry.
That must be a dream for somebody like you to go and work at something.
Oh, we
like
love
that.
I mean, first of all, New York is my favourite city in the world. And Lisa, and my wife and I got married there. And, you know, it's very special. Lisa will be on stage. In fact, she was a big star there last year.
What was she doing?
Well, she just won Woman of the Year with the Belfast Telegraph Awards. And for some reason, she went there on a real high. She went there on a real high. And it's not her normal. She doesn't normally like stage work. But she was very fortunate that she managed to get a model who turned out secretly to be a blogger for one of the biggest online fashion and hair and beauty magazines, who loved what Lisa did and proclaimed her to be a hair champion. And,
right.
And having me knocked out 15 or 16 haircuts, Lisa did the one that everybody talked about, which was amazing. It was great.
That's fantastic. So both of you are heading out there. And Jimmy as well.
Yeah.
You're all heading out for the International Beauty Show. And you're working with Denman Hairbrushes.
Yeah.
How did you connect with them? What's the story with your history with Denman?
Weirdly, it's a long, long story. But very briefly, about 20, I don't know how many years ago, a young man came in to me and he said to me, "Here, listen, Paul, have you ever heard of Denman Hairbrushes?" I said, "Yeah, everyone's heard of Denman Hairbrushes." I said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Oh, I've just got a job with them." And I said, "Oh, that's fantastic. So when do you leave?" And he said, "I don't have to leave. They're only made down the road in Bangor." Now, his name was Philip Steele. He's now the MD of the company.
Right.
But he didn't know that they were made in Bangor. I haven't used them all my life.
Was he a hairdresser at the time?
No. He was one of their marketing guys.
And he was coming in to try and sell you or to introduce you to...
I cut his hair.
He was
a client.
Right.
So, our mutual interest was scooters, Lambrettas and Vespas. And he just happened to apply for a job. Next thing, And, you know, the rest is history.
So you, as a hairstylist, were using Denman brushes but weren't aware that they actually were made down in Bangor.
Isn't that
amazing?
And I was working on Bloomfield Avenue on the road to Bangor.
That's unreal. Because the last time you were in, it was quite a while ago, and we did mention Denman then. And so many of our listeners come back from Newton Harts, Bangor area, remembering they're bringing batches of these things home they had to make in the house.
Yeah.
You know, if they had big orders in. Uh-huh. So there's a huge, huge history of people living in the area who actually worked, or their family worked in the Denman factory. Probably still do.
Well, Denman are obviously a global company now. I mean, and you know, for me, being from Northern Ireland and them being a Northern Ireland company is just amazing. 22 years later, I've been all over the world with them.
That's unbelievable.
I still continue to think that I am good enough to use.
But obviously, you must be bringing something to the table now, apart from the fact that we know, and whether you like it or not, you're the superstar hairstylist in Northern Ireland. We know that. But whenever you go to America, I mean, what can you bring to the States? You think we learn everything from America? We take a lot from them. So is this like reverse? Or you're bringing your hairstyles to America?
I think British and European hairdressing is still highly regarded in the States. You know, the American audiences flock towards the Irish and the Brits on stage. They love the accent. We're quite down to earth. You know, we don't preach to them. We're very fluid and very natural with how we cut hair. But we cut hair exceptionally well. We are very, very good.
Do they not cut hair well?
They cut hair very, very well, but they still think we have that edge because we have a culture of cutting hair. We have all, first of all, we've got that technique that was handed down from Vidal through Denman and amongst them. And then we've got the subcultures, which basically give us the rebellion, the revolution. And they love all that. I mean, in New York and Chicago, it's very different. New York, Chicago, LA, you do have those kind of little great industry. I mean, look, hairdressing in America is amazing, but we are edgier, we're more forward thinking, we're more innovative, and you know, they would admit that.
Yeah, it is amazing though to think that from this wee country you can go out there, you can take stylists from this country, put them in a situation like the International Beauty Show, and the Americans are looking on wowed by it.
They love it, and the great thing with social media now is they become fans. So we have people who contact us on a daily basis asking, are you coming back out to San Diego? Are you going to come to LA? You know, where are you going to be next? As if we're like a touring band. And what they don't realise is we're just a small salon with 15 or 16 people working really hard like their salons.
Yes.
But social media and also the Denman brand has made this a much bigger thing than it really is for us. But we're delighted to play our part.
Yeah. So what do you think it is about what you do that the Americans really dig? Because they really do. They keep asking you back.
Yeah.
What is it that you do?
I think it's my genuine enthusiasm and passion for the industry. I think they, you know, having been hairdressing 30 years, that hasn't changed. No matter what happened in my personal life or my business life, I've always loved cutting hair. I'm always seeking the new direction. And I have a wealth of knowledge from 30 years that I can keep dipping back into and, you know, coming up with a new trick or a new idea. But I think it's just genuinely my enthusiasm they gravitate towards. And I think I take a very down-to-earth approach to what I do. I'm not...
Whenever you're there, then what do you do on stage? Well, you and Lisa and Jimmy leave the salon on the Lisburn Road and head out to New York and set up your stage or step onto your stage. What do you do?
The first thing we do is we basically go out and scour around and make sure we've got enough good models to keep the audiences entertained.
Where do you get those from?
We get them from the floor, or we find them in the hotels, or in San Diego I went to the local tattoo shops and piercing parlors and just
you have that. You see, other people would just pick up anybody, but you're looking for something different.
Well, I want them to realize, and I want them to know that I want to make it as entertaining and as exciting for them, but I want them to take something away. I want them to learn something. I don't want to teach them a haircut. I want to teach them how to cut hair. And for me, I can sit here and say this, I love cutting hair. I love doing it in front of an audience. I love doing it when it's just someone in my chair. I like doing it in my kitchen. I don't mind where it is, but there's nothing better than doing it in front of a bunch of people who just absolutely...
It's a performance.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of as close to rock and roll as it gets.
Yeah, yeah.
Without all the other...
God, did anybody see the picture of Paul on my Facebook page? I mean, that was a rock and roll stance if ever was one. And the spray, even the messages were coming in, he loves his products. There you were, giving it all up with the hairspray. So there's a lot of that going on. I'm sure you use a lot of hairspray whenever you're there.
I use a lot of everything. You mean, you know...
I know what you're like.
Much product I put in your hair. I mean, I am a product junkie.
Yeah.
And I'm fortunate to work with some great companies. But I don't think I'll ever not cut hair, either for fun or but even just for the enjoyment. I mean, I'll come in on my day off and cut the staff's hair.
Yeah, you like doing that?
I'm obsessed with it. And I'm always looking, and I don't ever notice anymore bad hairdressing. I notice creativity. Mm. I think as you get older, you know, I think you start to sort of look at things very differently. And I'm much more subjective about things rather than objective.
Mm. Well, one thing I'm going to ask you now is, what about the people who are coming up behind you, Paul? Mm. So whenever I look at people who come into this industry, simply because of the way everything's so instant, I'm not really seeing the people who want to do the dirty jobs that you have to do just to learn the trade. I'm not really seeing a lot. People want to be superstars right away. Are you struggling in the hairdressing world to find people who want to actually work hard to get to that point?
I think if you ask anyone my age and who came from our background, they will probably say yes. You know, young kids come to the salon, they want to be superstars. Mm. They don't want to be technicians or craftspeople or they want to be superstars. But I don't think we can blame them for that. That's the world in general. But there are some really good people in Northern Ireland coming through, some young people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's quite a few people I'm friendly with on Facebook and on Instagram, and I look at their work and I think they have it. They're 22, 23 years of age. What we had was the reason. We were rebelling against everything. And in Northern Ireland during the 70s and 80s, hairdressing was a way out. You know, listening to music was a way out. Being part of a tribe was a way out. There's no way out. Social media is such a glare, mm-hmm. that they have no way out. So in actual fact, as Warhol said, if they get their 15 minutes of fame on Facebook or Instagram, that's probably what they're after. But there will be stars coming out of this.
Well, it's good to see. It's good to hear that you're seeing them at a young age and you're thinking, right, there's definitely somebody who's going to be fantastic.
There are four or five people who I can drop their names right now who I know who are out there doing amazing work. I'm fans of their work and I look forward to seeing how they evolve and what they do with their careers. The one thing that I would say is that they need to stick to it. Mm. You can't just give it up and travel around the world for 6 months and come back to it. Hairdressing is about stickability, and the best people do it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're thinking about it, breathing it, eating it, and it's not just a job; it's a lifestyle, it's a way of life.
That's a good bit of advice, actually. Is there anything other bit of advice to anybody who's listening who maybe has a family member who's gone into the industry? What would you say? How to get to the level that you're at, that you're travelling the world and you're showing people this is how you do it?
Do what I didn't do, and that's listen to all the people who have got the experience and get a good training. Education is the most important thing. I mean, you can probably become a great hairdresser simply by listening to great people. You don't necessarily have to be one of those people who have to go to the great schools or go down the academic route. But if you actually are with and you're being mentored by great people, there's a lot to gain from that. So if there are salons or hairdressers that you recognise within social media or in the newspapers or magazines, and you think, I wouldn't be good enough to go there, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Go to the best people.
Yeah, they're happy to help.
They want to see you. One of the biggest problems we have now is recruiting people, and there just aren't enough people coming into the industry. Let me correct that. There aren't enough ambitious people coming into the industry, because hairdressing has probably taken a little bit of a divey game in terms of its public profile. And we need to sort of make that profile bigger and better so that people realise this is a great industry. It's a wonderful craft. You get to travel the world. You get to meet fun people. And if you're very, very, very lucky, and you work hard, you can have anything you want.
Yeah. Well, that's a good out there, Paul. Listen, good luck on the trip. I know that's yourself and Lisa and Jimmy from Paul Stafford Hairdressing Salon on Lisburn Road, heading out to the International Beauty Show. If people want to know a wee bit more about what you're doing, you're saying you're getting hits from Facebook from right around the world now because of the exposure. How can people get in touch with you if they want to know more about it?
The best thing is through Facebook. I can't believe I'm nearly 15, I'm saying this. Through Facebook and our Instagram page, which is at We Are Stafford Hair, which is more about what we do. It's photographic. It's much more image-led. So you can see what we're going to be doing in New York or in San Diego or in London. And it's very visual. And if you need something that's going to inspire you, that's what we put out there.
Hey, what a great ambassador from Northern Ireland, eh? Paul Stafford, thanks. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks,
talk to you
Karen,
all day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot and good luck.